Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, Road Trippin' fam. We are excited to let you know that Road Trippin' is proud to be presented by FanDuel. Never played NBA Daily Fantasy on FanDuel before? Well, check this out. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Why should you play on FanDuel NBA? Well, for one, it is easy to use when it comes to their app. What's not to love about that? But also, for example, they offer different and unique contests across sports in relation to your skill level. Oh yeah, and get this. You can play for big prizes, single game contests for the biggest national matches, and enter contests for as low as 5 cents. That's right, 5 cents. Simply incredible. So again, let's recap. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Enter URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin to play now and get your deposit bonus. That's URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin so they know we sent you. FanDuel, more ways to win.
You got six more workouts today, Phil. Stop it.
All right, here we go. Cheers.
Cheers.
Welcome
Cheers.
Into hey,
can I fix my camera?
Richard,
he actually does need to. I should have told you.
Is that jacket twill?
Isn't it called tweed?
Tweed? Twill?
Tweed. What is twill?
I think it is tweed.
Oh my God. How do you guys ever get through a podcast, man?
Okay, for the 19th time, cheers.
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 Welcome into this edition cheers. Of Road Trippin', presented by FanDuel. I'm your host, Allie Clifton, Channing Frye, Richard Jefferson. I say it often, but really I mean it. This man needs no introduction. He's won 3 NBA championships. He's been a part of them. Yeah, on the coaching side of things and the player development side of things. We all know him, obviously. He's smiling. His name is Phil Handy. He's an assistant coach with the Los Angeles Lakers.
Philip.
As we speak.
Hello, Philip Handy.
Hey, Phil.
Philip ZJ Handy. What's going on?
Where does CJ come from?
We don't know.
If you don't know what it is, you can't afford it.
Can we first talk about how last night, Gina, the wonderful Gina, who is so dope and keeps us all together, books all of our guests. She said that Phil was in for the podcast today, and Richard's response was, Phil who?
No, but this is why.
That don't surprise me.
But Phil, wasn't you,
it
right?
Was.
Like there were some talks of some other guests like Jerry Springer, Maury Povich. So when I said Phil, I was like, are we getting Dr. fucking Phil?
Yeah, you got Dr. Phil.
Like, I didn't know.
That was my response.
Then everyone started cracking jokes like Phil Donahue. And like, so and I was just like, no, but seriously, like who's Phil?
I am a doctor of sorts, though. I got a PhD.
Not of sorts. That's not what we're asking. I don't think. What do we call? Do we call him Handy? What do we call him, Phil? What do we call him?
What did you call him? What did you? Oh
no! See, there you go, Channing. With that bull crap.
That bull. No,
you can say bullshit. You can say bullshit, Philip Handy.
Richard, you can't get over how strong your jaw looks right now. Now pause.
Who?
Richard.
Yeah. I don't know what's up with your beard. It's throwing me off. Do you have makeup on or something?
No makeup, dog. All natural. That's why my head is always shining. Right? So people say I got a shiny bald head.
And Allie, you can attest it. Who got a shinier head? Richard or D-Mill?
Oh, D-Mill.
Oh, me. No, D-Mill. D-Mill's got
No way.
D-Mill's got a shinier head in general. When I'm on TV, the camera just glistens off of my bald head.
D-Mill glistening.
Glistening. Oh, looking all good and shit.
Looking all good. Hey.
Whoa.
Can't say that to other friends.
Anyway. Well, let's just go back to Cleveland. Road tripping. It's a place where it originated, of course. And it's all about storytelling. And Channing's always like, we need to tell more stories.
Oh, God.
So come on, guys. Give me some stories. Give us some stories that we don't know about Cleveland, Ohio.
Phil, can I tell you a funny thing? So Phil, when I first went there, Phil's the man, right? But I think Phil knows where his lane is with certain players. So he's working out Kyrie and he's doing this. And I get there and Phil got me doing these little left and right things. And the first day I do it, he's like, okay, do this, dribble, do this. And then the next day he was like, yeah, we're not going to do none of that we did the first day. We're going to do this. You slide, you shoot. You backpedal, you shoot. You dribble once. So Phil is over there working on Kyrie, in and out, cross, bang, bang, hit him with this. He's like, Channing, stand still, shoot. Stand still, pump fake, dribble, shoot. So I was like, you know, Phil didn't say anything, but I noticed. And every time I was trying to dribble, Phil's like, no, we're not going to work on that today. We'll work on that later.
That's a lie, man.
You just do this.
Yeah. That's a lie.
No, it's okay to teach. It's okay to teach people their limitations, Phil. It is okay. That is as important as teaching
very comfortable.
What they can do is also teaching them what they cannot do. And that's okay, Phil.
Phil, I was so happy. I was so tired from them damn dribble workouts. I was like,
nah, bro. That's a great workout for you. It's a good cardio. RJ, you remember we was in Miami, right?
But I was just about to go there. These Indians invited me. Like, remember, we all got going. Like, Channing, this was before you got traded there, so it was preseason. I didn't know anybody, and I didn't really fuck with a lot of people. Like, Bron always goes back to that. Like, his first Halloween party, it wasn't that I didn't want to go. It was just that I had just gotten in town or something had just happened. I didn't have anything. And they're like, RJ, you coming? And then, like, a couple months later, Bron was like, man, everybody was talking about it. He's like, yeah, that's when Richard didn't fuck with us anymore. And I was like, no, it's not that I didn't fuck with you guys. I just didn't really know you, and I don't like people, right?
So you didn't go to the Halloween party?
The first Halloween party I didn't go to. I had other stuff going on. I think the kids were just coming. Something was going on, so I couldn't go. And I just, like, I was like, I didn't feel the need to tell them that was it going. But no, well, but before that in Miami, they were getting everybody together for Miami. We had like a team workout. I went, and then Bron was like, you know, hey, I'm going to stay just like a couple more days, Rich, if you want to do it. Now, mind you, we went there for 3 days. I brought enough clothes for like 1.5. So I had to go buy more clothes for the extra like 4 days that I was there. But I was working out with Bron and Phil, and they were having me do these things. And I was like, guys, you know, like, I don't do those things. Like, people, we're not trying to say that even for professional athletes, like, we're skilled, we do this, but like, Phil can either raise your level or he can hone your level. And I was at year 15 and I didn't want to raise or hone any skill. So me and Phil very quickly realized that, yeah, Rich, so we're going to do some one dribble pull up.
I still have the video. See, Allie, what you don't know is I have video. Let me see if I can find it. I got the video.
Oh, God. Hey, you know what? We're on a time crunch, dude. Yeah, we don't have time for you to search your phone. Hey,
technology is real quick these days, RJ.
Remember when Kevin came on our podcast a couple weeks ago and we discussed the video that Phil put out?
Oh, man.
Oh, that shit was funny.
Hold on. Listen, I was watching film the next day, just breaking down film, and I just happened to catch Kevin on the sidelines. He was talking to Bron. Bron was talking to him. And the kid went under. And before you guys saw the clip, and I lost it. I was dying, man. I could not stop laughing, man. I think I watched that like 5 times over and over and over. I couldn't. I had to send it to K-Love.
Now look, like, Phil, we don't take this. No, we won't take this personal. But you've won 3 championships most recently. You won with the Lakers, you won with the Cavs, you won with Toronto, all very different championships. You had a bubble championship. You had the 3-1 championship. Allie looks like she's fired up about something, like she was going to go there. Mm-hmm. No, but okay. And then the next championship, obviously, like the 1-year rent-a-player in Kawhi. Which team was the one year rental player?
Hey, that was Miami rents the Lambo for the night.
They got a quick return on their money. You know what I'm saying? Like, you go there and put $100 on black, or you could put $100 on double zero, and you grab that money and you walk out. Which team was – you got to break it down. You got to rank. Which team was the funniest? Oh, one, two, three.
Cleveland, by far.
Cleveland. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we know that. By far, okay.
You know what? Last year, I'm going to say this. Last year's Lakers team is a close second.
Really?
Dwight and JaVale. I told somebody this a while ago. I said, hey, man, Dwight and JaVale are Channing and Richard. I had that. Yo, them two, when I say them two, two of the biggest clowns, like, for real. They were.
I don't feel like that's a compliment.
I was going to say, I saw you both like in the house.
I feel like you started that statement, and you're like, oh, this is not coming off the way I want it to.
No. It is, because between you and Channing, come on, bro. Between you, Channing, and Damon Jones.
Oh, God.
Dante Jones.
Dante Jones.
Well, the funny thing is, me and Channing, we bring out Goofy in other people, right? Like, that's the thing. It's not only are we funny, goofy, whatever, but we make other people be goofy with us, just either out of annoyance or just because they're just tired of fighting it.
Yeah. Okay, I actually like that. I agree with that. And can I just take your question one step further? This is why I was like, oh no, he's going to ask the same question that one of our callers asked. You set it up essentially the same. So take a listen. Phil, this is for you.
Hey, Allie, this is Jackie. I'm calling from North Carolina, Greensboro, North Carolina. I got a question for Phil. I want to know which championship felt the best for him. You know, was it in Cleveland, LeBron brought the trophy to Cleveland, you know, after returning? Was it in with the Raptors, you know, the 1 year with Kawhi, you know, one and done, he's gone, you know, beat the Golden State Warriors? Or was it last year in the NBA bubble with the Lakers, you know, you stay isolated and you want to win the championship? That's the ultimate goal, the only reason you're there. You know, which one felt the best for Phil? Thanks.
Hey, shout out callers. Guys, don't forget, if you got a question for any of our guests or any of us, don't forget to text us. Allie will tell you the number.
You know what, Allie, I would have to say, look, winning championships, RJ can tell you, Channing can tell you, they're not easy. But I would have to say Cleveland, just because of the magnitude of what we went through. You know, being down 3-1, you know, that's pretty much
it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. It's over. So for us, you know, I think, and you were part of that too, Al. I mean, all of us here, that was I still get chills thinking about that championship for what we went through, especially that night after game four, when we were all in the locker room. And, you know, everybody always asked me about that. They're like, the locker room was so calm. Man, these dudes were all just like, hey, listen, if you don't think we can go to Golden State and win game five, then don't get on the plane. And that was kind of like the mindset. And so I always felt like, just being able to do that in for Cleveland, for the city of Cleveland, for Bron, you know, for guys that had went through their careers, you know, RJ, the Channings, I think that's the most special one. One, it was the first one, but how we did it, how we were able to accomplish that was pretty special.
I had a call this morning, right? And they were like, well, when you were down 3-1, they were like, well, were you guys nervous? What was it like? And I was like, fuck no. I was like, we locked in even more, and we were eating dinner. I remember we would go eat dinner and people were watching film at dinner, you know what I'm saying? And then Richard was probably the only nervous person. Richard turned into a nervous wreck and wouldn't come out of his room. And we're like sitting down, and here's
a story. I've been through a lot, Channing. I've been through a lot, dude. See, you don't know because you didn't go to the Final Four, but like a national championship. you know, the last, first of all, me and Channing both won state championships in Arizona. And so that was the last championship that either of us had won. So it was like to lose in two NBA finals and in Olympics and in the national championship game.
You definitely lost at the Olympics.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, technically I won my last game at the Olympics, the bronze, but But yeah. I was not all the way there. I have the ability to get quite.
Hold on, didn't RJ have to start game five?
Yes,
he had it. So that's why he didn't come out of his room, C-Fry.
No, yes. Dude, listen.
Wait, you started game five?
K-Love was.
No, I started game two.
Was it?
Four. No, it was three.
I started game three. I started game three and four. I started game three and four.
I thought it was game five too. Did K-Love miss game five?
K-Love. We won game three, so I think we brought Kevin back off the bench in game four because we had won game three.
Right.
And then after we lost game four, which we shouldn't have lost, but Golden State did what they needed to do, Kevin started 5, 6, 7. In case anybody's doing the math, longest streak in between NBA Finals starts. I started my second year in the league in the NBA Finals. And then my 15th year, 13-year gap between NBA Finals starts.
Oh, you know, Richard gets to nervous stage or like full on like Richard Moe when this guy goes and gets a coffee, right? Drinks the coffee on the bus, then pounds a 5-hour energy, and it's like, let's go, guys. And he's out there running and comes off the bench. Chad, so what did I say? And James Jones is like, Chad, talk to your boy. I go, hey, I can't talk to him. I'm nervous. They're moving too fast. Just in case I need to get out there. Hey, I told people these fools were moving so fucking fast. I said, I got no business out there. I said, it's me and Phil. We good right here. We did enough. Hey, I was out there 2 minutes. I looked at two like, nah, this ain't it. This ain't me, big fella.
I think
every time Bergeau came out there, I said, yes, here we go. I said, nope. I was like, yeah, fuck.
You know when I realized how crazy and real the moment was, and this, I want to say this the right way because I respect it and I thought it was incredible. It was just something different. It was something I observed, right? That's my job. So being on the road with you guys right around the corner from our hotel was a church, a place where you could go to church. And I remember coming back from the Grove game 7 morning and I saw 3-4 players come out of church on Sunday morning.
Damn,
I was like, whoa. Okay. They are really in it. Like game 7, the morning of game 7.
Okay. No. Let's go back. Let's go back. So this is what happened.
So were you one of them?
Yeah. I led the charge. I led the charge. So this is what happened.
Richard said, listen, we need Jesus.
This is what happened. When I played for Golden State a few years prior, I lived not far from the Grove when I played for Golden State because I lived in San Francisco. And so I met a pastor there just, you know, randomly. And I'd gone to church, I think once or twice there. And then randomly when we were in town, he sees me in the area because the church was right behind the Four Seasons. So like, I think I was grabbing a coffee or something. He's like, oh, Richard, man, good to see you again. How are you doing? And he's like, you know, good luck. He's like, you know, we moved our churches over right here in this area. So I was like, okay, I'll go. So game 5, we go, I think it was on a Sunday. And so I go to church. I was like, I'll go say what's up to the pastor. Really, really nice guy. I can't remember the church. And then fast forward the next few games, it's back to game 7. So now after we won game 5, everybody did the exact same thing they did before games. Before game seven, it don't matter how many eggs you had. You had to make sure everything was chopped up the same way. We would have probably wore the same fucking clothes if we could.
For sure. I wore the same suit for like.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. People were not changing nothing. So I think I told James Jones and Dante, because these are all guys that we used to go to chapel with. So I was like, hey guys, like there's a pretty good church. If you guys want to go, it's literally right behind the hotel at the Four Seasons. And so that's how we ended up going. And it was like game 5, game 7, back-to-back church services. I wasn't changing a thing. I just brought more people.
They're winning now. Look at these guys.
Listen, oh, yeah. That was weird. They were like, okay, who got on the bus before you? What time you were there? Did you take a nap when you were on the plane? You better nap now, motherfucker. You're sleepy as shit. If you slept then, you sleep now. Don't change nothing.
You're sleepy as shit.
What music you listen to, what food, what room, all that. Don't. If you didn't go last time, you ain't going to eat with us now. Stay in your room.
One of my favorite parts of game 7 was the clip of you chasing down Kyrie. Did you fall?
Oh, no, I just tackled him.
That
was like, I'm telling you, everybody was just in pandemonium. He was the first person I saw.
Nobody hugged me.
So maybe you should have went to Channing.
I was like, this, yes!
No, I didn't fall. I tackled him.
Oh, because you were like in a suit, dress shoes, like everything.
Man, the whole nine. I mean, you know, I think that part was obviously a lot of deep-rooted stuff with Kyrie, the relationship, and just before you guys at all came to Cleveland. You know me, Allie, you remember, we used to have those, after my first year in Cleveland, our talks on the back of the bus, the team struggles, and, you know, that was a totally different team. So his growth up until that point was major, you know, for him to be able to get to that point from when I first got to Cleveland, his maturity level. And so it was just, man, that was just a powerful moment for me individually to be able to see him have growth like that and reach that point, because that was obviously, that shot is going to go down in history as one of the most clutch shots ever.
It's to me, I don't think I've seen, I stand by, there is not a bigger shot in NBA history. People point to Ray Allen's shot. Mm. People point to, you know, MJ's final shot, right? Yeah, I get it. MJ was the greatest. I'm not, but if you're Dame's shot that he did over OKC, of just like shots that you're going to see for the rest of our lives. As long as there is an NBA, you will see those five shots. I still think with Kyrie's shot, with all that was on the line, given the team that we were playing, giving on the road, 73 wins, two-time MVP, down 3-1, there is not a shot that has all or similar components to it.
That much, no shot has that much weight.
No.
Right? When you start putting things on that, right, everything could have gone
wrong.
And
that motherfucker teed up a three, though. He jimmy jazz.
I mean, the crazy part about it, like how, you know, how Bron, you know, you got, he trusted him.
Yeah.
Right? Just ultimate trust to say, come on, man. You know, let's get what this.
You do?
Let's get this matchup.
Oh, yeah.
And JR, how many screens did JR set? Oh,
17 of them. JR might as well just grab one and just walk
screen.
Oh, the one time he pulled Clay at the last time, he like grabbed Clay's arm and like I walked back. I'm like, they could have called a foul and some shit like that. But no,
let me ask
okay.
You this question. Richard, were you going to go another direction with
me? Nope, I ain't got nothing to say.
I just know that we can continue to like tell all the stories, but I think like what is awesome about this, and it's what we all know about you, Phil. And anytime, you know, like we just put out on our road tripping channels that you were coming on, that you were a guest, and it's all like, you know, Phil is the GOAT. Phil and his relationships, you know, who are the best ball handlers Phil worked with? Like everyone does want to know what makes you so good at what you do. And I think you nailed it when we were talking before this, the relationships that you have, the different kinds of relationships. How and at what point did you know that that's what your strength was? And how do you, I guess, kind of navigate and continue to keep them going? Because you work with the best in the game and they're all different, but you have that special relationship.
I mean, Allie, we're all people, right? I think, again, RJ and Channing can attest that they've been around the league for many years. I've always said that as a coach, I mean, we're still human beings. So at the end of the day, it's just about building relationships. And it's not always about basketball. You know, I think I didn't know RJ when he came to Miami, but me and RJ went to dinner. You know, we sat down and have a drink. You know,
a lot of them.
You know what I'm saying? So to me, Allie, I've always had this mindset of, yeah, basketball is what we do for our job, but these dudes are young men, they're human beings. So I want to build like real relationships with them that don't have anything to do with basketball. And I think that transfers to what we do on the floor. First off, they always understand that my main objective is just to help them become better basketball players, continue your careers, add to their game, and just keep going. I don't want anything else. The rest of it will organically happen. You know, we'll have a relationship because, again, I think they'll start to understand who I am. No bullshit. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm one of those people that just loves the game of basketball. And so that's how I've always approached it. The relationship is built through basketball, but understanding organically that, hey, I just want you to become a better basketball player first, and then we go into other areas.
Oh, that's so fucking boring. Hey, Channing, how about when – Channing, how about when Phil gets mad? Isn't it funny?
Phil gets mad? Wait, Phil gets mad?
Oh, yeah, because when Phil gets mad, he's no longer Coach Phil.
No.
He's like,
Phil,
he's
hang like, on, what does that look like? I didn't know Phil got mad.
He's no longer Coach Phil.
Phil is usually he's in the like, back. So when Phil he gets is mad, yelling he starts over going like, ears.
I'm in the park, Phil.
Yeah.
Okay, to your point, Channing, because... Hey. Because
that nigga here
he
was.
Oh, you want
that? Oh, that's what you want? That's what the fuck you want? That's what you want? Man, yo, get out of here with that bullshit. You know, and all of a sudden, it's like, yo, what happened? Anybody seen Coach Phil?
Hey, can I ask you guys a question?
Yes.
Because I have not been able to replay this. People have always asked me about the locker room episode in Golden State. Which and one? I feel like I blacked
which
out.
Which one?
I was only one, RJ.
I blacked out too. I blacked out too.
Wait, tell it. Can we hear it? No, what?
Yeah. I'm like, I remember it, but I don't remember it.
I remember Phil came in and was screaming, and I was like, damn, I'm not going to play in this, right? So my mind is like, I think I played a little bit of bullshit.
So selfish, Channing.
Right? But I was like, no. But I was like, damn. They're moving too fast for me. Okay, put the pride aside. What can I do for my team? So I'm looking like maybe I can get somebody some ice or something. So Phil comes in, boom, you mother, bro, you don't want to do that. It was screaming. And I was like, oh, he's talking to y'all. Because here's the true story. Remember we had gone over the film of JR staying connected to the body. We literally went over that 50 times in the first play of the game. He lets go of the body, and Clay and Steph, they do one of these, right? Because you're supposed to be underneath and force him up and grab it in the first play. And obviously, I'm on the bench, and Phil's like, what the fuck are we doing? And after that, Phil was gone.
JR needed this a game fucking seven. Map. Yeah, JR needed I forgot what I was play. He needed a map.
Hold on, no, RJ, look. Let's keep
it in game seven, Phil.
I only get mad when y'all do dumb shit.
Which is all the time.
Players do dumb shit.
No, but my thing is this though, Phil. It's not that you get mad. Everybody gets mad. It's about who you turn into. Not you. Everybody. Everybody. Allie tried to say that, like, oh no, yesterday she was like, oh no, I'm always like a two, but I can go 10. But I was like, yeah, but you go from 2 to 10. There is no 6, 7, 8, 9.
No.
There is no 6, 7, 8, 9. You go from 2 to 10.
Right? Majority of the time, I'm a 2.
Yes, but when you go to 10, there is no escalation. There is no 2, 3, 4. It's at 10. It's like, oh, yeah, 2, 10.
Phil? What is Phil?
When Phil gets mad, he goes from Uncle Phil, right? Where he's just like, he goes from Uncle Phil, where he's like everyone's dad and best friend and mentor, to like fucking
the OG Phil.
Phil 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That's where he goes. He goes from Uncle Phil to Oakland Phil.
Oh, yeah. That's real. I'll accept that.
Phil stopped yelling at me after a while. And when I would come off the bench, he'd be like, I'm like, damn, I fucked up.
Yeah, but this is one thing that I want to, I want to say about why individuals.
I'm over here.
Phil gave his long, drawn out bullshit answer, but I'll tell you.
Which was great.
It was great. It was a great answer, Phil. Congratulations. The reason why individuals like Phil, and you're talking about the NBA, you're talking about the best athletes in the world. You're talking about an individual that works out with Bron every single day, that works out with Kawhi every day, that worked out with Kyrie for years, right? So like Phil has worked with all of the top players in the world.
Kobe.
Phil, how much of your job is literally therapy? Because this is why I want to express it to people. You can have all the skills in the world. You can have all the different things in the world. You can build personal relationships. But how much of your job, pre or post game, would you consider that you are an actual therapist to 13 guys?
Man, Dr. Phil. That's why
Dr. Phil.
I have a PhD of sorts.
Yeah.
People think coaching is just, no, there is a lot of that to it.
to build, you know, again, just, yeah, sometimes it's just about listening, man. I would have nights with Kyrie where we would be in that arena at 3 o'clock in the morning. And he would be in there talking about, I'm a cage lion. He won't let me out of my cage. No, look, so that part is that the therapy part is real, right?
Yeah.
And RJ, look, you guys know Channing, I just always believe that a lot of coaches don't really take the time to just spend time with you guys. RJ, just like I'm talking about, just having conversations, right? Whatever that may be. So the therapy part of it is real. Sometimes it's just to listen. Sometimes you might come into practice and you don't feel like working out. We might just need to sit down and chop it up a little bit. I learned that my first year, man. Like, I learned my first year coaching the NBA. I was like, man, this is not just all about basketball. There's so many, because you guys have so much stuff going on in your lives, families, whatever. I learned that my first year, and I had to pick up on that piece to understand how to deal with it.
Yeah, because sometimes a player can show up for a workout and he can be shooting shots, but you can look in his eyes and see that his mind isn't there. Like, you can pass a ball person 20 shots in a row. They can make 19 out of 20, but you're like, yo, what's going on? You're not here. What's deal? No, I'm cool. It's like, all right, so are we just going to like shoot it and that's how you're going to get your mind right? Or are we going to talk about it? And so it's like, that was one thing that I will say that you, as far as like, when you talk about, you know, obviously winning a championship, it is a fucking it's mental warfare, because you're down 2-1. Somebody gets injured. There's this. And it's not just the Cavs team. It's the Laker team being in the bubble for 100+ days. It's Toronto being down 2-0 to Milwaukee in the conference finals. Like, there's a lot of mental warfare that's going on. So like, when you're trying to master the psychology part of it, that's part of the reason why I don't question. Obviously, you guys have had a lot of things go your way and other teams, but part of the reason why you've been involved with teams is because I could see how valuable you were from the psychology standpoint of our team. And people need to understand, we're together every day for 9 fucking months. Yeah. 9 months.
That's a lot, man. That's
fucking a lot.
You spend more time with your teammates and your team than you do with your family.
For sure. Easily.
People don't really understand that piece, right? And it's just like, we would come in and we would have days where motherfuckers don't want to see each other. You don't want to see the coaches. You don't want to see your teammates. You don't want to see the training staff. Like, it's a real family atmosphere, right?
Yeah. They don't want to hear me and Channing fucking goofing off. Right? They're like, not today, fucking Channing.
Like, too late, bitch. This is me every day. I'm gonna be consistent.
But see, y'all two motherfuckers, for real, y'all made it bearable, because you understood that you couldn't come in every day and just be the same on Monday. No, we never make it through the season.
No,
I think never. I almost got in one fight. Right? It was one time Kyrie was talking crazy to me, and I was just like, is my contract guaranteed right now? Because I'm gonna have to cuss his ass out, but. We were cool after that. He would, but you know, Kyrie sees the game so much slower than other people, and so I wasn't seeing what he was seeing. And he didn't say it to me very nicely, and you know, I got to switch. Remember, I was another time I cussed y'all out because I didn't even play during the game and went to go get a chip, and I cussed Broad out. I said, only one person gets to make fun of me.
Wait, are you talking about that time that you stuck your whole hand in like the guac?
I did not stick my whole fucking hand in the guac.
I got in the locker room.
I was hungry. I took a chip and a guac, and Richard started getting on me. I was already upset. And then Bron chimed in, and I was like, man, shut the fuck up, Bron. Who's going to Richard gets to make fun of me? 1% at a time.
I do have a question, because we've all talked about it. We've talked about Kyrie a lot on this episode, and I feel like been very open to a degree with the relationship that you've had with him. He's a grown man. He's very sure of himself. I'm not saying that you need to speak on his behalf by any means, but knowing and understanding and seeing what he's gone through lately, whether it be this season or just over the years, and honestly, your position right now, I don't even know if you're able to have that relationship still with him. Are you able to stay in contact? I mean, because I know as much as he's meant to you, what's kind of in mind with him?
Yeah, that's where, to me, it's more than just basketball. I keep in touch with Kawhi. I keep in touch with with Steve Nash. I keep in touch, you know, like
those Kawhi conversations must be real dry. One,
hey, bro,
how you doing, Kawhi? Okay,
yo, he's funnier than people think. Straight up,
okay. Even because you have no expectations. Anything that says is funny.
No,
anything
but,
more than yes and no, I'd be cracking up.
But to, you know, to answer your question, yeah, Allie, we keep in touch. You know, it's one of those things where it's not even about basketball, mm-hmm. more being about his well-being. You know, how's he doing? And just making sure he's good. You know, him and his dad. I'm really good friends with his dad. So that's at that point, man, it becomes more than basketball. And again, RJ and Channing will tell you, you win a championship with somebody.
Oh, it's a wrap. Care.
It's a wrap.
We're stuck. We don't even gotta like each other. If I call you, you gotta pick up the call. Call me. I gotta call you.
We're like blooded into a really goofy mob.
It's so funny. It's so funny.
Trying to get free shit from each other.
Yeah, like Shump. Like Shump is so funny. Like, but those were Shump and Kai and all those guys. No, but they were the younger guys.
We were kind of the younger guys, and we were like the older guys.
But even Shump, right now. I'll just randomly text message him or see something on IG that he did, and I'll just send him a random asshole message. I ain't spoke to him in 6 months. I ain't said shit, you know, whatever. Just like, yo, you're fucking ugly, and I hate you, right? And then just keep it moving. You know, that's the part that's fun, man. And even like, look, getting to the finals, like, and doing all this stuff again, like when I was with the Nets, like Jay Kidd and Kenyon and Carey and Keith, all of these guys are guys that, like, the minute I see them, it's like, I know what we accomplished. Or I know we didn't win it, but you know what we did.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's a brotherhood. But to win a championship, it is literally an even whole nother level, you know, of like the connectivity that you have with each other.
For sure.
Phil, do you want to dive into, because you aren't just an assistant, the Los Angeles Lakers, your 94 feet of game app that you have, that you've launched. You're also
How much is that thing? You're also working with your fucking wine.
The stud in her own right.
Prices, bitch.
Jewel Lloyd, obviously with the WNBA number one pick in 2015. Let's dive into that a little bit.
Man, well, the app is, I think for me,
do you know what you're doing? We're trying to pub. We trying to hype you up.
Jackson,
you got people calling. Channing, stop calling Phil.
Is he FaceTiming you?
Jackson trying to FaceTime me, which is at least.
You can put him on here.
Which is at least 10 times a day.
His little guy, Jackson.
Oh, the little man?
Yeah. So.
Oh. I was talking about Reggie Jackson.
Oh, wow.
Talking about Stanley Jackson?
You talking about Tito Jackson?
I'm talking about Jesse Jackson?
Is that Action Jackson?
Let's talk about Jewel Lloyd, 94 feet of game app.
My bad. Talk about Jewel.
Jewel is, man, she is a phenomenal athlete. I met Jewel through Kyrie and through Kobe. Her and Kobe were pretty close, and obviously – she's like probably the only athlete Kobe gave the title. He gave her his name, the Gold Mamba. And so she created her own little platform with it. You know, she has the rights to it. And she just, when I actually got a chance to watch her play, I was blown away. Like she's super skilled. She's got a nice game. Obviously a two-time WNBA champion. And she wanted to work out. And when I got in the gym with her, she said, look, I'd like to be a part of your app. And the app is just a place that it's like a community I've created. It's been like a lifelong project where I just wanted to be able to share my knowledge, how I train, how I teach, and really not for athletes, but more so for coaches, right? Coaches and trainers to understand how to teach the game better. And some of the things that we do and what do guys at the next level do to be successful. So the app, you know, 94 Feet of Game app it's become a large community. Jewel is the face of basketball for women on the app. And we created a whole Gold Mamba workout, which is 24 drills that inspired by Jewel, inspired by Kobe, some things that I've learned from Kobe. And we just kind of threw it into a melting pot and created a really nice workout. And it's pretty high level. You know, I would love to see Channing and RJ try to go through pieces of that workout. Hey, man.
You know what? Do you have the Craig Hodges workout? That's what I want.
Wait a minute. Man. Hold on. RJ.
All I'm going to say is like, yeah, you want to talk some shit to a 40-year-old. man, that 28-year-old me would fucking eat that shit alive and then have to go pass out.
25.
I don't dribble. I never dribble. Hey, I always had a three dribble limit.
Richard.
People, if you ever watch my game, it is hard to find me do anything more than three dribbles. That being said, 3-point line to 3-point line, good. And then 3-point line in, all you need is three dribbles.
KYP,
three dribbles. I'm taking myself out the game. If I dribble it three times, it's not a dribble handoff. That's it. Hey, know thyself. What are they saying?
KYP, know thyself. Richard, didn't you just build a basketball court for your little boys? They could do Phil's app on the basketball court.
100% they're going to do Phil's app. If they want to eat, they're going to do Phil's app. Phil's too expensive.
They
want
to eat. Wait a minute. He said if they want to eat.
Look, Phil, the problem with Phil is that, like, I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to, you know, give him a little rich, let him train him. But, like, Phil's too expensive now. Phil's got, like, abs and shit. Like, and I'm like, I'm not calling in no favors.
How
like,
much my app is?
How much
I don't know.
It's $9.99.
God damn. It's a recession, man. We're in the middle of a pandemic.
And for, you know, for the longest time, it was 99 cents.
Well, this is my thing. This is my thing. Real talk. Okay.
I'll wait for the Christmas extravaganza.
Yeah. So, no. But Phil, with you Black realize, Friday. I think
wait, the internet say that
single-handedly,
now?
I think the internet single-handedly, is a large reason why basketball is in a whole different place.
I agree.
Because when we were kids growing up, we didn't have dribbling basketball videos. We didn't have VHS. No. You would just have to like make up drills and then you would go to Five Star and there was random drills and you would take those home and do them or your high school coach do it. Now there are apps and there are things. There's so many more things. So it's like we were even talking about Steph Curry. Now kids today are watching Steph and Dame Lillard shoot from half court with accuracy in an all-star game. The fuck you think these kids are going to go out there and try and do? They're going to start training to do that. Now, I'm not saying like 10-year-olds are going to try and shoot from half court, but as their skills and bodies start to develop, they're not going to just be settled with the 3-point line or NBA line. As their skills develop, they're going to keep pushing it back at an earlier age. So I would say 17, 16, you know, depending on your body type, like guys are going to be able to shoot from anywhere. We saw with LaMelo Ball shooting half court shots to start games. Like, I'm afraid in a scary way where the game is going to be in 10 years with that, like the.
Yeah, but the, you know, the proof side of it though, RJ, the internet has made basketball vast, but it also made it where you can put a lot of bullshit out there too.
Oh, right? Speak on that.
This was one of the reasons why I created the app, to help people understand and see what real training looks like. No bullshit. You know, keep your training functional and applicable to the game.
Oh, good word.
Some of the stuff that you see out there, and that's the other part of the internet. Now everybody thinks they can train and throw medicine balls at people and throw chairs at people and you know, all this other goofy shit that you might see out there. You know, it was one of those things where I wanted to really help people understand that we're not reinventing the wheel, right? You can do some advanced things, but keep it simple. You know, keep it applicable to the game.
What do you see when you see that? When you see, because I see it all the time, like they're like, oh, look, this little half step quarter move and then a crossover, you got to drop your left leg and did this. And I'm like, there is no basketball that is that fucking, like if you try and do something that is that mechanical and robotic, like that's not like, because so much of moves is like how you're trying to get their body to move, how you're trying to get them to lean. But there is so much shit I see on the internet on IG, and I just be like, oh, that's not right.
See, and look, this is coming from a player. I mean, you play at the highest level. So you guys look at it and identify it. But see, there's a lot of people, RJ, that don't know, right? They haven't played the way you guys are playing. And even Ali, you know, you play, they haven't played.
Is so
what they're looking at, they don't really identify it and don't understand it. And sometimes I think the messaging and the teaching that's out there is just not right.
Yeah. Well, shout out everybody.
Kidding, did she?
I didn't want to address that, Allie, because you just ignored it and like rolled your eyes.
I didn't ignore it. I heard it.
Yeah, no, I'm saying you didn't say.
I was just listening to Phil. Oh,
okay. See, this is where the 2 to 10 is going to go. look. She's smirking right now. She's like, these motherfuckers right now.
Yeah.
Well, Phil, I was going to ask you a question. I forgot, Phil.
I love the app. We talked about it, you know, when we did our one-on-one for Spectrum Sportsnet during COVID, because we dove into your app and the purpose and everything. I think it's awesome what you're doing with Jewel Lloyd even more. You know, it's easy to sit here and talk about your experiences with NBA guys. And it's every single day, all day. I've witnessed it. I've sat in practice and watched you work with guys. I mean, I can't forget that time where I posted on IG not too long ago when Bron actually did that move in game. And I've seen it so many times. Like, you say that the moves are simple, but I feel like they're complex within the move, right? And I just never understand how it translates. What you're doing, obviously, it works. It is incredible. I think it's awesome. So shout out to you. Where can people get the app? $9.99 anywhere, right?
You can go to Google. You can, it's on Apple. It's everywhere. It's worldwide.
That Best Buy?
You can go to Best Buy and open up your Apple phone and get it.
Touche. Anything else that we need to plug? I know you're wearing a hat that you want to send to us that we're really excited about.
You know, I'm not a big plugger.
I know. That's why we're asking you to do it.
What's Byog?
I'm gonna send you guys some
own. It's BYOG. Bring your own gardener.
Yeah, there you go.
What is it?
BYOG. Be your own goat.
Ooh. Be your own goat.
I like that.
Okay. Wait, is that a sheep?
I used to walk sheep. You guys, I was in 4-H Allie. For 6 years. I made 6 different outfits when I was like eight to 12 years old in 4-H, and I made clothes.
4-H.
And my whole thing was, it was called Ladies Lead at Our Fair. And so my outfits were made out of wool. And sounds so then, like, and I won. 4-H. I was a champion.
Do you have a picture?
Yes, I do.
Has a picture.
I do, and I'll post it for this episode.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will.
No, you won't. Okay, y'all.
I'm very proud of that. Okay.
My degree.
Let me ask you and Jenny a question. How do you guys, how do you guys feel about your boys not being in the tournament?
Huh?
Arizona's not in the tournament?
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
If we don't go to the tournament,
if
we don't go to the tournament for the next 100 years, if we don't go for the next 100 years, we'll have more tournament appearances than y'all. So shut up.
What, Hawaii? Are y'all still at school?
I just asked a question, bro.
No, like, shut up.
I'm on the
shut
phone up. With two Arizona
don't,
cats. I'm
don't. Look, hey, we're just we're letting other people have a turn, right?
Yeah.
We're all about equal opportunity.
I think we reached their soft spot.
And you know what? You know what it is?
10,
you
know, right? Allie,
I don't know what you're talking about, because my girl Adia is doing big things out there.
Big things. Shout out to UMA Women's Basketball.
She is doing big things. She just got
a softball school.
Hey, we give props to the women's basketball, but we're talking about the men's program right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh. We were talking about Adia Barnes.
No, we need to give more props.
We're talking about Adia Barnes.
We're talking about Adia Barnes. That's what we're
just
talking
Adia Barnes.
About. Just Adia Barnes. That, you know, just shout Adia out the Barnes. Women's basketball team. Good luck. We're rooting for y'all. I'll be watching. Hopefully they improve your weight room, because that was a joke.
Goat noises.
Again, you guys, he's 38 years old.
37, mother effer.
By the way, I hear everything, Richard, and thank you. Yes. That needs to improve on the women's side. It is a joke.
Oh, no. The NCAA are gangsters, man. You got to believe them when they show you. You got to believe them when they tell you. They gangsters. They don't care.
You don't care one bit.
Hundreds of people that work inside the NCAA make over $1 million a year. Think about that.
Go listen to, I know there's so many out there right now, but just go listen to our girl Chinea Gwumike on this take. She had an awesome take this morning. Couldn't say it any better.
Hey, just for the record, you two fucking banter back and forth on IG. That shit is hilarious.
Okay, we're going to wrap this up with another question that was sent into our hotline, if you will. 657-522-5578 or 657-5 call RT, call Road Trippin'. And this is a question for Channing, but Phil, before we started the podcast, made a comment about this. So this is why I'm going to use it, because I think he'll have something to say too. The CJ from Utah. Question for Channing. What is the craziest random Snapchat you ever received? I'm asking because he blocked me after I randomly sent him something in 2015-ish. I didn't think he would open it. And then he follows up with
dick pics. Are you opening dick pics?
And then he followed up with how come RJ doesn't follow Channing on Instagram?
Well, number one, 2015, Richards, was where we were Snapchatting the little Kev stuff. So I was getting random stuff between people being like, fuck you, Channing. And, you know, like people flicking me off and all type of shit. So people would like take a drink and be like, Channing, you watching this? I'd be like, block. I don't feel like dealing with this. So I could have just randomly blocked you. I haven't been on Snapchat in years. No offense, Snapchat people. But Richard doesn't follow me just because I don't really post that much. I go through phases of posting a lot. And right now,
I don't follow him because my goal is to have more followers than him. My goal is to have more followers than him. I don't have no followers. I'm trying to get my followers up.
Phil. This is every day, Phil. This is why I moved as far away from Richard as possible.
Yeah, Portland. Good job.
Portland.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, whatever. Hey, Phil, what's up, man?
What's good, RJ?
Man, it's just good to see you, man. I'm just glad that the Lakers are playing well. Are y'all gonna make some noise this postseason? What's your story?
We'll wait to the postseason.
Are y'all gonna repeat as champions?
I mean, that's what we're here for, right, RJ?
Yeah.
Hey, bro. Yeah.
Let's just say here, everybody here has rings, right? Like everybody here has championship rings. That's all that matters. And I'd like another one. I want one of those alley rings.
So would I.
I want one of those alley rings where it's like, what? That's an alley ring. Like you're a part of the broadcasting team, so you got a ring. I want one of those alley rings. I want one of.
I feel like that was a backhanded compliment.
No.
Which I know.
You know, hey, Allie, just tell me if you want one of those rings. Maybe you should come work side by side with you then.
No.
He's already got fired from them twice.
I did work with the Lakers. They fired me.
Damn it.
To answer your question, RJ, look, man, you play with Bron. How Bron is, and you know how playoff Bron gets. So I think, you know, we're preparing. We get AD back in the fold. Our team is moving in the right direction, and we'll be ready to go when the playoffs start.
You know, on that note, Phil, you are wonderful. Phil. Loved having you.
Only them two would take it there, right?
No, you said it.
Only them two would take it there, man.
You know, I get so excited to have guests on here just so that they get a glimpse into the life of.
I already knew what I was walking into.
Yeah.
Tripping.
I knew what I was walking into.
Hey, Road Trippin' fam. We are excited to let you know that Road Trippin' is proud to be presented by FanDuel. Never played NBA Daily Fantasy on FanDuel before? Well, check this out. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Why should you play on FanDuel NBA? Well, for one, it is easy to use when it comes to their app. What's not to love about that? But also, for example, they offer different and unique contests across sports in relation to your skill level. Oh yeah, and get this. You can play for big prizes, single game contests for the biggest national matches, and enter contests for as low as 5 cents. That's right. 5 cents. Simply incredible. So again, let's recap. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Enter URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin to play now and get your deposit bonus. That's URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin so they know we sent you. FanDuel, more ways to win.